Praise God. So we want to continue on what we talked about last night. Last night we were talking about the process of healing. Healing. Healing is a representation of deliverance. Healing is a representation of freedom. Amen. You know, people that are sick and hurt and so forth, and mentally, physically, or spiritually hindered, it's not freedom, isn't it? It prevents them from really wanting to do things in their life, and it prevents us from actually doing the will of God in certain areas. You know, I mean, we can do the will of God in our circumstance, but His perfect will is that we walk in health, isn't it? Health is a representation of total freedom. Amen? That's health, total freedom. And there are certain things that are brought on upon us, and we've talked about certain areas of curses and self-imposed, inherited, and temporary curses. I want to talk a little bit more about that tonight. And there are things that we don't even realize that we're doing, which is sin, and not even realizing that we're touching and associating with sin because it's been so common to us. You know, living in this world, and the world, the ruler of the world is Satan. Satan himself is the father of sin, isn't he? So that means sin is God's is not God's presence, but the presence of darkness, right? So, you know, in so many things, in so many instances in our life, we thought things as common to be okay. The world actually calls it evil good and good evil, and they don't even know it. They don't even understand worldliness is a representation of. They look at things as self-righteous. They don't understand righteousness. They only know from the tree of the good and evil, which is the knowledge of good and evil. So they look at things as good and evil. They do not look at things as holy, do they? Amen? They don't look at things as holy. They look at things as common. So they go around touching whatever. And you and I are to be separated. The Bible tells us, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch these things. All right, now we can touch these things with our mind, our hands, and our words, our mouth. And those are areas that we can touch these certain things. So we've got to understand that there are judgments. God allows judgments to come. One of the judgments, as you read in Deuteronomy 28, is a representation of a curse as a judgment of God. And I'm going to go to Jeremiah 17 so we can get a little bit more understanding here. And we have some powerful teachings that we're not going to go in depth in every one of these teachings. But some of the teachings that I would recommend is there's a teaching we have called Blessed and Cursed. And it's really powerful. There are other teachings that we have called the Power of Agreement. And there's a lot more. Anyways, check them out. We'll get to them. Jeremiah 17. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. Is everybody there? Glory to God. In verse 5. Jeremiah 17 in verse 5. Praise God. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Thus says the Lord, curse is a man who trusts in man. So when you trust in yourself, will you trust in it? Amen. Amen. Oh. And makes flesh his strength. Oh, man. I'm going to go to all those places where people are pumping iron all day long, right? Whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and he shall not see when good comes. That's called deception. Can't see. But shall inhabit parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. That's where the presence of God is not. So we see here that when we trust in ourselves, or we're trusting Him, let me tell you something, first of all, man will always let you down. Right? I mean, nobody is perfect. Man will always let you down. But when you begin to trust in your own strength, God calls it a curse. You can bring, that's called a self-imposed curse. That's when you hear, I can do this, I'm all right, I'm this, I'm that. Any more than two eyes, you get to the third eye and you become a monster, right? Hallelujah. So we see here that we can bring a self, this is called a self-imposed curse. We can bring these self-imposed curses upon ourselves when we begin to trust in our own strength. It says, but we can be blessed too. In verse 7 it says, blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord. So curses a man who trusts in man, blesses a man who trusts in the Lord. How many times the devil tried to get you to start trusting in yourself? You start saying, come on, you can do it. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
Come on, you're talented. No, those are what God gave me.
Amen.
He likes to come up to you after you've done something and said, I'm so proud of you. I said, no, the Lord gave it to me. And to Him be all the glory. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spread out its roots by the river, and will not what? Oh, that means that the devil puts fear on us. Remember, his weapon is deception, and his power is fear. And will not fear when heat comes. Why? Because he's trusting in the Lord. You know, heat's not as a representation of the flood of the enemy. When things get hot. But its leaves will be green and will not be what? Anxious in the year of drought. Or he won't be caught up in anxiety, stress, the push of the devil. Because his trust is in the Lord. He knows how to wait on God. Nor cease from yielding fruit. Because when you do these things, see, the devil is trying to get us to yield bad fruit. But God is trying to get us to yield good fruit. So when we don't walk in fear, anxiety, stress, trust in man, when we don't walk in that and we're totally trusting in the Lord, waiting on God, your fruit is going to be good fruit. You're going to bear good fruit. Now your fruits are a representation of your actions, your words, right? Your motives, your desires. Hello? Those are parts of your fruits, aren't they? It says that the heart is deceitful above all things. Now the heart is the character of your spirit. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give every man according to what? His ways. According to the fruit of his doings. Wow. So God gives according. That's called sowing and reaping. What you sow is what you reap. Some of us are still reaping on some of the things that we've done. But I'd rather reap with Jesus than without Him. Amen? God is, listen, all things will work to the good to those who love the Lord. So even while you're doing your reaping, you can't get caught up in this anxiety and stress and fear arena. You keep doing the right thing, and God is going to make the way. I'd rather walk in peace than torment. I'd rather walk in joy than sadness. Right? And I'd rather walk in trust than fear. Praise God. So we see that cursed is a representation of not trusting in what is of God and not trusting in God. Actually, curse is a reward for agreeing with sin. Come on, write it down. Curse is a reward for agreeing with sin. Yow. Sin is the kingdom of darkness. When you agree with sin, you agree with the kingdom of darkness. Like I said, we've got a powerful teaching on the power of agreement. Praise God. Listen, these self-imposed curses open the door to demonic activity. Some of these curses bear fruits of sickness, disease, bondage, addiction. You know our addictions are a curse? Hello? And it's not just about addicted to drugs and alcohol. It's addicted to food. What are you putting your trust in? Amen? Some people are workaholics, alcoholics, addicted to whatever. You know? Some people are trying to stay busy all the time. That's not freedom. That's bondage. Isn't it? I need to stay busy. You know why? Because they're afraid of doing the wrong thing. Because they're trying to manage their addictions or their sicknesses. Well, so I don't think about it. Well, then you're not free. You're still bound. Amen? And the curse is still there. Trying to bypass the curse. There's only one way to get rid of it, and that's through repentance. Hallelujah? Go to Genesis 3. So we see a curse is the reward of agreeing with sin. Oh, hallelujah. And if you get convicted, don't worry about it. Just repent. God loves us. Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah. Now we know that there are what we call inherited, self-imposed, and temporary curses. Now I know that we've heard this before, but we need to be reminded. In Genesis 3 and verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." Cunning is a representation of subtle. So many people think that the devil shows up with his voice, "I'm the devil," with a tail and pitchfork and pointed ears and horns, and that's not how he looks, and that's not how he talks. I like these movies that always have this, "Oh, this devil." Believe me, he does not talk like that. That same voice that you hear that you think is you is how he talks. You just have to discern his fruit. But his voice is the same voice that's in you and me. Hello? That's why we got a wonderful teaching called "Who Told You That?" Also. Praise God. "And the serpent said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman, of course, answered the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Now, death is a representation of separation from God. And that's one of the things the devil wants to do. He wants to separate you from the love of God. God's love to you will never be separated. Does everybody understand that? But he wants to separate you from receiving the love of God. He wants to separate you from receiving the love of God, of loving God, loving yourself, and loving others. "Then a serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die.'" You know what he just did? He accused God as being a liar. "For God knows that in that day you eat it, your eyes will be open, you'll be like the sons of God," or what the Bible says here, God, knowing good and evil, but that's not correct. It's the sons of God. And of course, when the women saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it and ate of it, and she also gave to her husband with her. So we see something happened here. First thing that happened is the devil deceived her with a lie. He accused God of lying. How many times have you been accused? In yourself. "Man, you don't do this. You need to do that. You should have done this." How many times after you repented, you're being accused of death? Hello? I mean, man, that voice, and you think it's you. It's not you. God is standing before you saying, "I forgive you and I love you." But the devil is still standing before you going, "Yah, rah, rah," and accusing you and accusing you. And you think it's your voice. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. So the devil deceived Eve by lying and accused God of lying, didn't he? Right? Go to verse 13. "Now the Lord said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?'" She made the confession. The woman said, "The serpent what? Deceived me," right? "And I ate." So the Lord said to the serpent, okay, here it comes. "Because you have done this, you are what? Cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust." You know what we're made of? Amen. Dust. "All the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So we see that that judgment, the sin, manifested a curse, didn't it? Is everybody with me? Who sinned? The serpent. Why? Because he lied. Does everybody get it? He first of all accused God of lying, but he lied himself. So when he did that and he deceived someone else, God said, come here. Come here, little vermin. You're cursed. Now, when God curses someone or something, it's cursed. There's no, I'm telling you, it's, what's cursed is cursed, man. Amen? Praise God. So the Lord cursed it, right? And so the sin brought a curse, and the curse brought death. Does everybody understand it? Death is a representation of separation from God. Hello? So Satan accused God of lying. John 8, go to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Hallelujah. So there's something we've got to really understand here, which we so many times lose sight of. Sin is not only an action, right? And the fruit of the action of sin is a curse. Somebody got that. But sin is a presence. Is everybody with me? Sin is a presence. Sin was already in the garden, wasn't it? Okay? The action brought the curse. Sin was already present. Sin is a presence. It's a representation of the presence of the kingdom of darkness. When people sin, they're associating with the presence of darkness, aren't they? They're associating with a demon, a voice of a stranger. So when somebody sins, they just don't, okay, I think I'll sin. They sin because they're associated or are coming in agreement with the kingdom of darkness. When they come in agreement with the kingdom of darkness, they sin. Is everybody with me? Because sin is a presence. Watch this. In John 8 and verse 43, Jesus says, why do you not understand my speech? He said, because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the what? So, the devil had some children. The Bible says that you and I are born in darkness. We're born in sin, right? You are the father, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Some of us still want to do the desires of our old father. He was a murderer, an addict, a manipulator, a liar, a user, a fornicator, a pervert. I mean, he was every one of those fruits, wasn't he? He was a defiler. It says, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the what? In the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. Now, what did he do to Eve? He lied to her. Why? Because he is the originator of it. He is the father of it. He is the presence of lies. Does everybody understand that? So sin is a presence. It's just not an act. The act is the manifestation of associating with the presence of sin. A curse is a reward of agreeing with sin. Has everybody got that? A curse is the reward of agreeing with sin. Who? Go to James 1. And what do we sin against? We sin against God. Because the kingdom of darkness is against the kingdom of light, right? James chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. Does everybody understand that sin is a presence? See, we can't candy coat it anymore. You can't just go, oh, I committed a sin. No, you're associated with a presence of darkness. Praise God. In verse 13, I think. Let's see. Oh, verse 12. Is everybody there? James chapter 1 and verse 12. James chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Temptation, the definition of temptation, of course we have a tape on that, is enticed to sin. Or enticed to agree with the kingdom of darkness, isn't it? When you're being enticed, somebody's trying to speak to you to do something. But see, everybody keeps thinking, well, that's the problem, they keep thinking, right? They keep associating with that voice that's within them, that it's everything they hear is them. That voice is just a representation of a speaker in you. Has everybody got it? And this voice that is going to speak to you, I mean, how many times have you spoke to yourself, hello, and got down on you really bad? Then you kept really beating yourself up. Well, that wasn't you beating you up. Does everybody got that? Amen. It's important. That wasn't you beating you up. Amen. He's not the one putting oppression on God's not the one putting oppression on you. And you either are you. Right? It's the voice of the stranger. So, each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Well, who imparted those own desires and enticed? Enticements, the devil. Then when desire has conceived, in other words, when you've agreed, when the voice that you heard agrees, you agree with it, it gives birth to sin. Because you've come in agreement with the kingdom of darkness, you've associated with the presence of darkness known as sin. And sin, when it's full blown, which brings a curse, brings forth what? Death. Does everybody see that? Hallelujah. Temptation is the act of enticing to sin or agreement with darkness. Go to Psalm 1. It's going to make sin look at a whole different arena. No more flirting with sin, right? Psalm chapter 1. So, a curse is actually a manifestation or result of agreeing with the presence of sin. Does everybody understand that? And the fruit of a curse will manifest in the natural realm because these are spiritual things. So sickness, disease, addictions, all of these are a representation of a fruit of a curse. Has everybody got it? Okay. In verse 1 it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So what happens to a man who walks in the counsel of the ungodly? He's cursed. Who stands in the path of, nor stands in the path of a sinner. Well, what about somebody who associates with sinners? He's cursed. But as nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Can't keep his mouth shut. Brings a self-imposed curse, doesn't he? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Didn't we just read something like this? Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper or bear good fruit. Hallelujah. Hosea 4:6. Hallelujah. Hosea 4:6. Now, ungodly counsel. Let's see, if you take your own counsel out of your own heart instead of the Spirit of God, you think that might be ungodly counsel? Amen. You know, Satan's doctrine is do what you feel like. Do what you feel like. Well, I can't take it anymore. I feel like doing this. Well, who told you that? That's why we have to live out of our spirit, right? Hosea 4:6. Is everybody there? Good. And verse 6, read it with me. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge means what? Truth. So we need to learn these things. Because you have rejected my truth or knowledge, I also reject you from being priest for me. That's someone who's close to the Lord. And that is the first office that we're to fulfill, priesthood. If you do not fulfill your first office, you will never be able to fulfill any. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also forget your children. Bummer. So we see that because somebody didn't do something right, it's brought down the family line, didn't it? Some of us were forsaken because our families weren't right with God. And we had to go through hell on earth until we finally got right. And when we got right, praise God, we stopped that curse from coming down the family line. Right? Hallelujah. Let's check some of this stuff out. Go to Deuteronomy 27. We're just going to skim through some of this. Deuteronomy. Because we could be here all night on this. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 27. Just go to verse 11. Go to verse 10. It says, therefore Moses was talking to the people, and he said, go to verse 9. Sorry. Then Moses and the priests, the Levites, spoke to all of the house of true ministries, Israel, saying, take heed and listen, all you people. This day you have become the people of your Lord, your God. Therefore you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today. And he goes on and he shares about the cursing and verse 14, and the Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to all men of Israel, curse is the one who makes a carved or molded image. Now he starts warning them about the curse. Curse is one who treats his father or mother with contempt. Contempt. Verse 17. Curse is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark. Hallelujah. Don't move your neighbor's landmark, all right? Just buy the land, praise God. Curse is the one who makes the blind to wander off the road. Curse is the one who perverts the justice due to the stranger, the fatherless, and widow. Curses one who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's bed. Curses one who lies with any kind of animal. Curses one who lies with his sister or daughter. That's called incest, isn't it? Amen? Curses one who lies with his mother-in-law. Curses one who attacks his neighbor secretly. Curses one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. Curses the one who does not confirm all the words of this law. Whoa. And in Deuteronomy 28, amen. That's about all it covers, right? Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Amen? So we know that there's a lot of blessings. In verse 7 it says, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. I like that. Amen? Amen. The Lord, in verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. I like that. Then all, verse 10, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord your God. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body. Hello? That means good health, doesn't it? And the increase of your livestock, that means wealth. Does everybody see where I'm at, verse 11? And the produce of your ground in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. Man, that's a great blessing. The Lord will open to you His great treasure, the heavens. Ooh, yeah. We need more of that. To give the rain to your land in its season and bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not have to borrow. Oh, that's okay. You can repent now. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Hallelujah. Right? You shall be above only and not beneath if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Verse 15, but it shall not come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God. All of His commandments and His statutes, where I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And he talks about the curse, the basket, and your kneading bowl, which is a representation of food. And verse 18, curse shall be the fruit of your body. That is sickness and disease. You think that might mean addiction too? Amen. And verse 20, the Lord will send on you curse, cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken. The Lord will make the plague cling to you until He has consumed you with the land. Verse 22, the Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, which is swelling, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scourging, and with mildew. It's fungus, isn't it? So you see all of these things. Look at verse 27. The Lord will strike you with boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. Until when? Repentance. Does everybody understand that? The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. And verse 35. The Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils which cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. No, thank you. So we see that there are blessings and curses, aren't they? We see that the curse is a manifestation in the natural realm, isn't it? The manifestation of the curse is going to be manifested through your body. Hello? Now a curse allows demonic activity to come to you. It opens the door for demons, doesn't it? Would you go to Exodus 34? Hallelujah. Exodus 34. Verse 5. It says, now the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there. He's with Moses. And proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Some of us are still in that generation. Does everybody understand that? The word iniquity represents sin coming down generations. Okay? And the Lord said, Moses said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity, and our sin and take us as an inheritance. And he said, behold, I make a covenant. So we needed to know that there was a covenant reestablisher. So we see that this is a curse that can come down the family line. Now let me share something with you. Man calls these manifestations of curses a genetic defect or sicknesses and diseases. It is a curse. Does everybody understand it? Sickness, disease, and addictions is a curse. It's bondage. Hello? And you can't bypass the curse or medicate it. It must be removed. See, that's what people are trying to do, manage the curse, and you can't. Right? It must be removed. So we see, if you'll go to Leviticus 17, that this curse contaminates the blood, doesn't it? Leviticus 17. You know, when you go to a doctor and he says, does anybody in your family have diabetes or heart disease or this or that or whatever, what's he doing? He's looking for a genetic hand-me-down in your blood. Amen? In Leviticus 17, in verse 11, would you read it with me? For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now what produces blood? Marrow in the bones, right? And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the souls. So the life of your flesh is in your blood, isn't it? If you lose your blood, you die, right? So that means that your blood and my blood has been contaminated by sin. Has everybody got it? So something needs to happen. We need to stand in the gap to repent, don't we? Look at 2 Samuel chapter 12. King David, what happened to him? Oh, hallelujah. Second Samuel chapter 12. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Second Samuel chapter 12. Then the Lord, in verse 1, then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him, and he said, there were two men in one city, one rich and another poor, and the rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nursed, and grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from its own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And the traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. He said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, a man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Ouch. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house. What happened? He brought a curse to his family line. Because you have despised me, you have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will rise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbors. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of his son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this before all Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. No kidding. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. In other words, he forgave him. But he still had the curse. However, because of this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also is born to you shall surely die. He lost his, that child that was going to be born was going to die also. Then Nathan departed to his own house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. Now I want to share something with you because a lot of things happened. First of all, David committed murder, adultery, and the child was born out of wedlock, which brought a bastard curse. Some of us have been born out of wedlock. We need to get that stuff off of us. The curse brought no rest to the sword of his family. His children, his child out of wedlock died, and his sons became murderers and adulterers. That curse went down the family line. Does everybody understand that? Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's go to Leviticus 26 and verse 40. And the Lord said, but if they confess their iniquities, iniquity is a hand-me-down sin, right? And the iniquities of their fathers, with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, that they also have walked contrary to me, and that I also have walked contrary to them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if their circumcised hearts are humbled and they accept their guilt. Then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and my covenant with Isaiah, and my covenant with Abraham. I will remember, and I will remember the land. So what the Lord was saying, listen, if you are willing to repent for the iniquities of your forefathers, I will reestablish my covenant with you. Does everybody understand that? Go to Daniel 9. Daniel chapter 9. Now this is powerful of Daniel, because what happened to Daniel? Daniel was reading the book of Jeremiah that the people and himself were in captivity longer than what the word had said. It was prophesied. And God showed him that he needed to repent for the ancestral sins to get the people out of captivity and himself. In Daniel chapter 9. Is everybody there? Why are we sharing this? Because I want to impart tonight the importance of repenting not only for your association with the kingdom of darkness, but or agreement with the kingdom of darkness, but the agreement that your forefathers had, that your mother's family line had, that your father's family line had, if you were married, that your spouse had, that your spouse's mother had, and that your spouse's father had. If you've been married 5 or 6 times, you got a lot of repenting to do. See, what's happening is this stuff is going to stop right here. No more going down the family line. It's stopping right here, man. And you're going to find yourself starting to get free from some of the access that the devil's had to you. Right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is freedom, what keeps the Spirit of the Lord from having access to us? Sin. Right? Oh, hallelujah. Acts chapter 9. Daniel 9, thank you. Acts 9. Acts 9 and verse 13. Daniel 9 and verse 13. We might have to go to Acts 9 if we just keep this up. But right now, let's go to Daniel 9. And verse 13. Is everybody there? As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Now, this is Daniel. Yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does. Though we have not obeyed his voice, And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name, as it is this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, this is Daniel's prayer, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. So what was he doing? He was repenting for the sins of the forefathers. Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. And that's what we need to do, don't we? We need to repent for the sin, our sins and the sins of our forefathers. Go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. You'll find as you begin doing this. Now we have a teaching called Walk It Out. Walk Out. Because some of these things you're going to have to keep doing until complete freedom comes. Amen? It's like chopping a tree down. It doesn't always fall down on the first hit. Sometimes you got to take that axe and keep chopping it. You keep chopping it. Right? But it will come. Glory to the Lamb. Some of us know it already, right?
Amen.
In Psalm 51, in verses 1 through 6, have mercy upon me, O God, according... Read this with me. Have mercy, O God, upon me. Oh, God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. What was he talking about? Ancestral curses, right? Brought down the line. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when I speak, when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin, and my mother conceived me. So you and I were born with ancestral curses. So everybody got it. And sin. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. So what we want to do is get truth, right? Truth is a representation of God's presence coming in. Once we get truth, it allows God's presence to come, right? We're able to repent for certain things, and the Spirit of the Lord comes, and we get more freedom. Does everybody understand that? Hallelujah. Okay, a couple of you up there, I think.
Amen.
So sin, there's something about sin. Sin separates us from God, not God from us. One of the things that sin does is separate us from the love of God. And it causes us to separate from not only the love of God, but the love of self and the love of others. Actually, sin is a representation of a breach of love. Because the Bible says God is love. When you come against God, it's like you're breaching His love. See, sin means association with the kingdom of darkness and coming in agreeing with it. It means coming against God's love. Does everybody see that? So when you and I associate with the kingdom of darkness, we're actually denying God's love. And we don't even realize it. Because that deception has kept us from understanding all of these things. And next thing we know, we're sick, we're ill, we're this, we're that. All kinds of things are happening in our life. We've touched something unclean, whatever. And what man tries to do then, it tries to get fulfillment in self-affections, self-affections and false affections. In other words, trying to please oneself by false peace. And then what do? They turn to sex, drugs, rock and roll, work, and everything else, right? To try and get fulfillment, and of course it doesn't last. Many people have been sinned against. Now you can be sinned against, can't you? You can be sinned against by abuse, physical, sexual, or verbal. Amen? You can be sinned against. And sin, being sinned against can open a door to bitterness, unforgiveness, and those are some things that we want to get out tonight. Okay, go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Oh, to God be the glory. Galatians chapter 3. And verse 10. Now, so many people come, when they come to the Lord, they believe because of deception and incorrect teaching, incorrect doctrine, that once you come to the Lord, you're free from everything. Now, it's available to us, isn't it? Because he said, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that is that pattern of freedom, isn't it? The way is a representation of repentance. The truth is that the truth sets us free. And the life is association with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, allowing Him access to us. And where the Spirit of the Lord is freedom. Okay, so in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 10, it says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Wow. For it is written, curses everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. See, people are bound by the law, not bound by a relationship. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. In other words, people are saying, well, listen, I'm not using it anymore. I haven't sinned. I haven't stole. I haven't lied. I'm okay. No, God's requiring a relationship. Not a relationship with the law, but a relationship with Him. For the just shall live by faith, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Does everybody understand that? He's not redeemed you from your ancestral curses. He's redeemed you from the curse of the law. It's our responsibility to sever ourselves from the ancestral curses. He's given us everything. Hello? That's why when people come to Jesus, were you instantly healed and freed? No. Because there's the process of the way, the truth, and the life. That process is repentance, getting truth, and allowing the Spirit of life to free you. The Holy Spirit. That is a process. So there may be bitterness in you. There may be unforgiveness. There may be things that people have sinned against you. You may hold such grudges towards your mother and father because of the way they raised you. You may be holding things that people have abused you, sexually, physically, or verbally. There may be bitterness and hatred in your heart. And you're going to have to take each and every one of these and go through the process of the way, the truth, of the life, of repentance and taking the truth. Which is repentance. Amen.
Amen.
Renounce and receive. Can everybody understand that? The way, truth, and life is the representation of repentance, renouncing, and receiving. Oh. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, upon the Gentiles, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive, hello, receive, the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. Now go to Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel. Are you getting understanding? You know, everybody has a choice, too, you know. God will not force us to do anything, will He? We have a choice. So we have a choice to humble ourselves. Remember, we read that yesterday. 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. In other words, He'll free you as you start going through this process. Oh, hallelujah. Ezekiel 18 and verse 30. Would you read it with me? Okay. Cool. Yeah, let's start at verse 29. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair. Who told you that? O house of Israel? Is it not my ways which are fair? And your ways which are not fair? Says the Lord. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, so that the iniquity will not be your ruin. What does it say? Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord. Therefore, turn and live. And isn't that what we're supposed to be doing?
Amen.
Turning and living. Now, you got to remember something. Who's accusing you?
Satan.
Amen. He's the accuser of the brethren, isn't he? Go to Revelation 12. There's a couple things that we want to start repenting for in agreement that we've agreed with. Two major spirits that we want to start getting rid of tonight, and they're associates. One is the spirit of bitterness, and the other one is the spirit of accusation. Not only does the devil like to accuse you, but he likes you to use you to accuse others. Hello? Revelation, what did I say? 12, thank you. Let's start at verse 9 and 10. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now the salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of the brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast out. Hallelujah. Now we know that hasn't been completed yet, right? He's still accusing me and you. And he uses us to accuse each other. And then he likes to come right to us. You know, after people obey him, then he accuses them. Hello? Praise God. Accusing spirits cause separation. They cause separation from his love, his person, and his word. Ooh. His love, his person, and his word. And there are many accusing spirits and their associates. And what we're going to do now, I'm going to hand out you some sheets. And I want you to take them with you. And you're going through each related one. They're all written on here. You're going to renounce in the generations of your families on both sides. And if you've been married a few times, you're going to have to do the ex-wives and their mothers and fathers. That'll teach you, huh? Amen. So you're going to get some sheets about the accusing spirits, right? And their associates. And you're going to break the power off of your ancestors and yourself. And these are just accusations towards God, self, and others. Bitterness with all underlying spirits. Offense, have you ever been offended? Rebellion. You know, many of us have been programmed religiously. We've been through so many programs, we're programmed. This is not a program. This is a relationship. Amen. Manipulation, controlling, personality of accusation. If you've ever agreed with any of these things, judging others, these are things that you need to break off of your life, correct? So we're going to be handing out you some sheets. I want to cover just a little bit of the spirit of bitterness. When you've been sinned against, the first thing the devil is going to do is accuse you. And he's going to accuse someone else. And it's going to open the door to bitterness. One of the first underlying spirits of bitterness is unforgiveness. And the Bible says that we are to forgive, or God can't forgive you. There are six major underlying spirits associated with bitterness. Actually, seven. The first one is unforgiveness. The second one is resentment. The third one is... I'm not going too fast, am I? Okay. By the tape. It's going to be on your sheet anyways, okay? Oh man, write it down anyways. It's good for you. Unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, anger and wrath, hatred, violence, and murder. Ooh. Unforgiveness. You know, unforgiveness is to say, I'm not willing to forgive the offense against me. Holding, why? Because the main strong man is bitterness. Resentment. Resentment says, I don't like him. I'll never forgive him. Keeps an ill feeling within the place of you, resentment. Retaliation says, it's time to get even. Anger. Anger or wrath wait on retaliation to become strong. Then anger and wrath manifest. Hatred will come forth when the idea of elimination sounds good. He doesn't deserve to live. Violence is anger and hatred in action. It might take the form of striking, throwing things, screaming, and physical, sexual, and emotional abuse. See, these are wounds. You know why people sexually abuse someone else? Because they're passing on their wound. The majority of people who have been sexually, physically, or verbally abused have been wounded from someone else that has been wounded. They're just passing on their wounds. They are iniquities. Everybody got it? See, all of this stuff is going to stop in this room. People who practice homosexual acts or perversion and pornography, all of these things are wounds that they've been wounded with in some way or another, or that iniquity has been passed down the line. Amen? Murder may be actual murder, meditated murder, which is murder in the heart, or murder with the tongue of gossip. Woo-hoo! So God requires that we forgive one another, right? That's even in the Lord's Prayer. Now we're going to hand out some of these sheets for you to take with you. I'm just going to share a couple of these spirits of bitterness. It even produces rebellion, bitterness towards God, self-pity, envy and jealousy, pornography, cursing, adultery. All of these things, bitterness and their underlying associate spirits. Is everybody with me? So what we're going to do is we're going to take these back tonight. We're going to do each individual one. We're going to break the power off. Now, the word renounce means break the power off. Repent means to confess and repent. Lord, I repent from associating with this. I repent for agreeing with this. I repent for my ancestors of such and 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 such. Of agreeing with the spirit of unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, and you're going to speak them. And you're going to repent for your associations with them. The word renounce, and I break the power of them off of my ancestors, my family, and myself. And that curse stops right here, and I command those spirits to leave right now in Jesus' name. Has everybody got it? Can you do it? Now you might want to get with your partner, remember? Now you're also going to stand in the gap, and your partner that has been given to you, you're going to mention your partner's name. Is everybody with me? As you begin, not only are you breaking the ancestral curses and generational curses, but you're going to mention your partner, Wade, and I break this off of him and his family and so forth. Does everybody understand? You're going to mention that person's name. Can everybody do that? You better. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we want to break off these spirits of bitterness and their associates and the spirits of accusation and their associates, right?
Amen.
How many of y'all want to get free?
Amen.
Well, praise
Amen.
God. There's something we have to do,
Amen.
Right?
Right?
There's something we got to do, and we're going to do it. So, Father, we thank you for your truth and your word tonight. Lord, as we continue to step out in faith and break these things off of our lives and off of our ancestors and our ex-spouses and our children's life and our partner's life, Lord, we just ask for your quick move of your spirit and that you would bring revelation of freedom, bringing healing to our bodies, bringing healing to our minds, our soul, and bringing healing to our spirits of any addictions or fears and doubts and bitterness and accusations in Jesus' name. Lord, establish us to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen,
Amen and hallelujah.